Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Hi, I'm Idris Elba. I play for Arsenal. I'm the new striker. No, I'm not. I'm actually hosting the best FIFA Football Awards 2017 on October 23rd.
That's right. That's British actor Idris Elba and not Arsenal's new striker Idris Elba. And Elba is hosting the best FIFA Football Awards 2017 in London on this Monday evening. The top prize to be handed out in the British capital is the Best FIFA Men's Player Award. Since 2008, the award has gone to either Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo, and you guessed it, they've been shortlisted for the award again this year, along with Brazilian star Neymar. Neymar and Messi claim the Spanish King's Cup with Barcelona, with Messi finishing as La Liga's top scorer with 37 goals last season. Neymar has since moved from Barcelona to the French club Paris Saint-Germain. For his part, Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo helped lead the Spanish club Real Madrid to a second consecutive UEFA Champions League title and finished as the tournament's top scorer with 12 goals earlier this year. And looking ahead to next year in Russia, Ronaldo, Messi, and Neymar will be showcasing their considerable talents at the World Cup for Portugal, Argentina, and Brazil, respectively. Meanwhile, Ronaldo's manager at Real Madrid, Zinedine Zidane, has been shortlisted for the Best FIFA Men's Coach Award, along with Chelsea's Antonio Conte and Juventus boss Massimiliano Allegri. Zidane led Real Madrid to that second consecutive UEFA Champions League title, as well as the La Liga trophy. Conte won the English Premier League trophy and FA Cup in his first season in charge of Chelsea. Allegri also won the league and cup double in Italy, while Juventus also reached its second UEFA Champions League final in three seasons. Turning to African club football, the 2017 CAF Champions League final will be an all-North African encounter. Reporter Samson Omale has that story, as well as other sports news. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with the CAF Champions League as Egyptian giants Al Ahly and Morocco's Wydad Casablanca set up an all-North African final in the elite continental club competition this past weekend. Al Ahly were in spectacular form, scoring 6 goals as they crushed Tunisian side Etoile du Sahel 6-2 in the second leg of their CAF Champions League semi-finals at the Burj Al Arab Stadium on Sunday night. On Saturday, Wydad Casablanca defeated USM Alger 3-1 to book their spot in the final. In the CAF Confederations Cup, holders TP Mazembe booked their place after playing out a barren draw against FUS Rabat to reach their successive final via a 1-0 aggregate score thanks to a Ben Malango's 14th minute winner in the first leg 3 weeks ago in Lubumbashi. The DR Congo Giants remain on course to win back-to-back titles in the second-tier continental club competition, a record only achieved by Tunisia Tunisia's CS Sfaxien in 2007 and 2008. TP Mazembe will meet South Africa's SuperSport United, who advanced into the final of the 2017 CAF Confederations Cup following a 4-2 aggregate win over Club Africain and Raids on Sunday. We still with football news, and Egypt's Football Association announced on Sunday that its locally based football team will not participate in the upcoming African Nations Championship CHAN 2018 due to their busy domestic league schedule. Thawat Swildman, executive manager of the EFA, told reporters that their participation in the CHAN tournament will require a domestic league break, and the Football Federation can't afford that. And now to the FIFA Under-17 World Cup currently taking place in India. Mali will meet Spain in the semi-finals after beating their West African rivals Ghana 2-1. The defeat of Ghana Black Starlets was the third in 6 months in the hands of the Malians after they had pipped the Starlets to win the 2017 Under-17 AFCON in Gabon and followed it up with a 2-1 win in a friendly in the United Arab Emirates. Ghana Black Starlets coach Samuel Pakwesi Fabian blamed his team's loss on poor officiating.
If everything went right, you scored a perfect goal, it was disallowed. We don't understand it. I mean, the officiating has been very, very, very bad. That's what I have to say.
In athletics news, Kenya's Jocelyn Jepkosgei kept her stellar 2017 momentum alive at the Valencia Trinidad Alfonso Half Marathon, taking 1 second off her own world record to create a new world record as she won the IWAF Gold Label Road Race in 1 hour 4 minutes 51 seconds on Sunday. Fancy Chimutai and Lucy Chiriot joined Jepkosgei on the podium to get a clean sweep of medals for Kenya. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting spotty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this, it's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Oh, keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way. If you keep on the sunny side of life. Oh, keep on the sunny side.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Samson Omale talked about that all-North African CAF Champions League final between Al Ahly of Egypt and Wydad Casablanca of Morocco. The final will be contested over two legs, with the first leg scheduled for the weekend of October 27th to October 29th, and the second leg the weekend of November 3rd to November 5th. In Major League Soccer news, Atlanta United FC, in its first season in MLS, set single game and season MLS attendance records on Sunday when the club drew 2-2 with visiting Toronto FC in Atlanta, Georgia. For the second time this year, Atlanta United broke the single-game MLS attendance record. A crowd of 71,874 watched the match at the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Atlanta United finished the regular season with 819,404 tickets sold, well above the league's single-season record of 752,199 set by the Seattle Sounders in 2015. Now, Atlanta United began 2017 by playing 9 matches at Georgia Tech's Bobby Dodd Stadium before playing its last eight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium after it opened last month. Atlanta United FC is owned by Arthur Blank, who also owns the National Football League's Atlanta Falcons team. The Falcons also play their home games at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Opening the top deck at the stadium helped Atlanta United FC break the attendance records. Atlanta finished its inaugural MLS season in fourth place in the Eastern Conference, becoming the first expansion team to reach the MLS playoffs since the Seattle Sounders in 2009. More MLS news. DC United has played its final match at RFK Stadium here in Washington, the venue where it's played its home games for the past 22 seasons. A crowd of 41,418 attended the match between DC United and the New York Red Bulls, which the Red Bulls won 2-1. Next season, DC United will move into Audi Field, a 20,000-seat soccer-specific stadium that's currently under construction not far from our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. Dozens of former players and coaches participated in festivities celebrating DC United's history at RFK Stadium. Among them, Bruce Arena, who recently stepped down as the head coach of the U.S. men's national soccer team. Elsewhere, the U.S. women's national soccer team, ranked number one in the world, routed South Korea Sunday night 6-0 in an international friendly match played in Cary, North Carolina. The American women completely dominated from start to finish. Five different players scored for the USA, including midfielder Samantha Mewis, who tallied her first career brace, getting a pair of first-half goals. The U.S. women's national soccer team will conclude its 2017 schedule next month with two friendly matches against neighbor Canada. First, Canada will host the USA on November 9th in Vancouver, and then the teams will play again 3 days later in San Jose, California. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, Bamboozit, D.C.
Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a look at Kenya's opposition protest and election confusion as the nation prepares for a repeat presidential vote. Citing irregularities, Kenya's Supreme Court nullified the results of the August 8th presidential poll. Understanding Kenya's presidential election on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side, keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten all the way, if you keep on the sunny side of life. All right, Roy. Let us greet with a song of hope each day. Though the moments be cloudy or fair, let us trust in our Savior always to keep us everyone in His care. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
Major League Baseball's 113th World Series begins Tuesday night in Los Angeles, California. That's where the Los Angeles Dodgers will host the Houston Astros in Game 1 of the Best of 7 Championship Series. The Dodgers advanced to the World Series for the first time since 1988 by beating the Chicago Cubs 4-1 in the National League Championship Series. And the Astros are in the World Series for the first time since 2005, when they were a member of the National League. This time around, the Astros reached the World Series by edging the New York Yankees 4-3 in the American League Championship Series. The starting pitchers for Game 1 in Los Angeles are Dallas Keuchel for the Astros and Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers. The left-handed Kershaw is a 7-time All-Star and a 3-time winner of the Cy Young Award, given to the top pitcher in each respective league. But he has no World Series title on his impressive resume, and Kershaw's manager, Dave Roberts, talks about that.
Obviously, when you've accomplished everything that he has as an individual, and you look at the ultimate goal for any professional athlete is to win that championship. So Clayton is very unselfish, very driven, as we all know. But I think for him, yeah, that final piece to win a championship for a team that the only team he's known, yeah, I think that that's the final piece for him.
That's Los Angeles Dodgers manager Dave Roberts talking about his star pitcher Clayton Kershaw. Kershaw will be on the mound Tuesday night when the Dodgers host the Houston Astros in Game 1 of baseball's World Series. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty Monday greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Monday?
Well, as you were just talking about, the 2017 World Series is set. The Los Angeles Dodgers set to take on the Houston Astros. A lot of people noting that it was very interesting in that series between the Houston Astros and the New York Yankees that every game in that 7-game series was won by the home team. The Astros won the first 2 games, the Yankees won the middle 3 games in New York, and then the Astros closed out the series by winning the final 2 games at home in Houston. So kind of a fun way for them to close out the series. Certainly lots of excitement from those fans there in Houston, lots of videos going around on social media showing that final out of that decisive Game 7 and how excited all the players were running onto the field, excited the fans were, streamers shooting out from the stadium. It was pretty cool scene that we got to see. And it's been pretty cool, Sonny, over the past few years in Major League Baseball's World Series, because as one of my Facebook friends noted and I saw in my news feed, he said the 2015 World Series featured two teams that hadn't won it in 29 and 30 years, referring to the Kansas City Royals and my New York Mets. The 2016 World Series, of course, featured the two teams who hadn't won it in the longest period of time, 68 years for the Cleveland Indians and 108 years for the Chicago Cubs, a streak that they broke last year by winning the World Series. And this year, you have a team that hasn't won in 29 years with the Dodgers, and one that has never won the World Series in the Houston Astros. So, very exciting time to be a baseball fan. Some unexpected teams showing up in the World Series. And in fact, it's only the second time in Houston Astros history, as you mentioned, that they are going to the World Series. The first time was in 2005. Now, that sets up a little bit of history for Houston, because back in 2005, as you mentioned, they were in the National League. There are two leagues within Major League Baseball, the National League and the American League, and you always have one of each in the World Series. So the best team in the American League that goes through all the postseason and the best team in the National League. Well, back in 2005 and up till 2013, the Houston Astros were part of the National League, but a small little realignment in 2013 put them in the American League. So now they have the distinction of being the first team to win both the National League and American League titles, which is called the pennant. So the AL and the NL pennant for the Houston Astros, very cool stuff for them. They also made a little bit of history because they are the first team, the Houston Astros, to beat both the Yankees and the Red Sox, the Boston Red Sox, in the same postseason. Two of the most storied franchises in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
So they have etched their place in the history books already in two counts, and now they hope they can do it again and win their first World Series.
Little World Series trivia for you, Andrew. I believe this is the first World Series since 1970 featuring teams that won over 100 games during the regular season, both the Astros and the Dodgers. And some of our Voice of America listeners might be wondering, how did they get that nickname of the Astros, Andrew? any care to guess on that?
Yeah, I believe it's because Houston, Texas is home of NASA and the space race. And that is, you know, the
you
famous line,
correct.
Houston, we have a problem. That refers to Houston, Texas. So that is, I believe, how they got their name. And the Dodgers, I know,
correct.
They started out on the East Coast as the Brooklyn Dodgers, and then they made their way over to Los Angeles. And good thing they did, because that was part of the impetus why they formed the New York Mets, my favorite team. So I always give the Dodgers some credit for moving west, even though it was an unpopular opinion and an unpopular move at the time. It proved out to be pretty good for Mets fans, I guess.
And the Mets have won the World Series.
They have.
At least a couple times,
not anytime recently. It's been about 31 years since they've won it, but they were there in 2015 against the Kansas City Royals, so they have made their trip to the World Series at least in the past couple of years.
What else is trending on this Monday, Andrew?
Well, it was announced on Sunday that Justin Timberlake will be making his return as Super Bowl halftime performer. This is one of those instances where kind of sports and entertainment intermix. The Super Bowl halftime show is, of course, one of the marquee entertainment events in sports. It's something that can make or break a performer, as Justin Timberlake well knows, because in Super Bowl 38 back in 2004, as our listeners might recall, arguably one of the most well-known and controversial moments in sports that wasn't actually part of the athletic event itself. He was performing with Janet Jackson. He pulled off part of her costume. He was supposed to reveal an undergarment she was wearing. Instead, he revealed much more than that. And something that was coined the phrase wardrobe malfunction.
Yes, I remember that phrase.
And a fun fact, actually, Sonny, Joed Karim, who is one of the co-founders of YouTube, said that wardrobe malfunction was actually one of the reasons why they created the video sharing site that's so massive around the world. So owing to the Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson, that why we have YouTube. Who knew? But lots of talk about this announcement, because it has been 13 years since this incident happened, and a lot of fans unhappy that Janet Jackson is not being asked back. They said that Justin Timberlake kind of got away from this scot-free. He's being asked to return. Janet Jackson was actually banned from performing at any future Super Bowl halftime shows. So fans wondering if there's going to be an apology, if there's going to be a surprise appearance, perhaps. We're going to be watching that and wondering if the NFL will maybe back down on that ban and well ahead of that say, okay, we're going to let her back as well. It's been more than enough time. This has passed. But already, even though we're not even halfway through the season, already they're talking about Super Bowl halftime performance and a lot of people looking forward to that in February.
From a PR perspective, Andrew, I think it'd be a good move for the NFL to invite both back for the halftime ceremony.
I think so. You know, the NFL's been dealing with a lot of issues with race, and that's one of the allegations that because Justin Timberlake is white and Janet Jackson is black, that played into why she wasn't invited back and he was. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but because there's so much focus on race in the NFL right now because of all the player protests, I think it would be a good move on their part to invite her back. Just make sure she wears something maybe that covers up well and is secure in place.
And still with the Super Bowl, one quick score, Super Bowl rematch. Patriots beat the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday night, 23-7.
Yeah, no good if you're a Falcons fan. That's
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the October 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondette. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, is getting desperate, said Chief Pentagon spokesperson Dana White at a recent news conference. White said thousands of ISIS fighters are surrendering to Iraqi security forces and Syrian Democratic Forces. They are getting desperate, she said. Civilians are running towards the Iraqi security forces and Syrian Democratic Forces because they know they are the good guys. Coalition forces have supported Iraqi forces as they liberated Hawija and continue to support the Syrian Democratic Forces, or SDF, as they enter the final phase of the battle for Raqqa, the capital of ISIS's so-called caliphate. More than 6.4 million Iraqis and Syrians have been liberated from the grip of ISIS, a territory about the size of California, White said. The coalition will continue to strike ISIS wherever the group raises its head, and coalition service members will track foreign fighters fleeing from the region who hope to foment terror in other parts of the globe. But the credit belongs to the forces on the ground in Iraq and Syria, said spokesperson White. Local forces in Iraq and Syria have fought valiantly to liberate cities from ISIS, she added. It is because of their efforts and their tremendous sacrifices that I can say ISIS is on the run. The government force in Iraq and a cohesive and deadly coalition partner force in Syria have made the difference in the effort to turn back the terrorist group. In the last 3 years, the coalition-trained and backed Iraqi security forces have removed ISIS from 87% of territory they once held, liberating more than 6.5 million people, including Mosul this July, the largest city ISIS has held. In Syria, the SDF, a force of Kurds and Arabs, are united in the fight against ISIS. After more than 4 months of operations, Raqqa is more than 90% cleared. In Raqqa and elsewhere across Syria, our focus remains on reducing risk to civilians, said Colonel Ryan Dillon, Combined Joint Task Force Operation Inherent Resolve spokesman, while continuing to pursue and defeat ISIS terrorists at every opportunity as they retreat into the remaining held areas in the Middle Euphrates River Valley.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a look at Kenya's opposition protest and election confusion as the nation prepares for a repeat presidential vote. Citing irregularities, Kenya's Supreme Court nullified the results of the August 8th presidential poll. Understanding Kenya's presidential election on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscast covering Africa news. Tune in on the top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.